How's your weekend, Dennis?
Good. Tiring, but good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Good. I just sort of figure, like, all I do really is just talk about myself on this podcast. I just want to sort of change things up a little bit and let's make it about you, man. Let's make it about you. What'd you get up to?
This is either a ruse and Riley's doing the thing where he wants me to talk.
No,
so he
ruse.
Can talk.
Just,
or he hasn't thought of anything. And this
I
is
just, man, listen, I just want to, like, we don't get the chance, you know, you and I, very close, but like the time zone makes it difficult. We used to catch up all the time, text constantly, you know, we used to be in a lot, like, it's, I don't know, man. I just want to, yeah,
do you have a friend who only deals in excess?
What?
Like, do you have a friend who's like big into excess?
Excess?
Like the cop, like too much. I'm not, this isn't a joke. Like,
oh, yeah, no, I don't know where you're going with this. Like the band in excess?
No, not the band in excess. So I had my Eurovision party, which I talked about last week.
Yes, yeah, we covered that. Off. How'd that go?
It was pretty good. Part of it was Lauren ordered pizza, and she was like, oh, there's like 10 of us, so I might just get like two big pizzas. And we'll just
she didn't get a mega wheel, did she?
No, she did not get a mega wheel. We got a mega wheel the night before my wedding.
Yeah,
it was the biggest pizza I've ever seen in my life.
to give you an idea of how big this pizza was, Dennis had to turn it sideways to get it through the front door.
I think it's genuinely like a 20-inch, 25-inch pizza or something. It's massive.
No, it's bigger than that. Huh? It's easily bigger than that. It's like I reckon it's 3 feet across at a minimum.
Is it Riley TV size or is it Dennis TV size?
It might be between the two, to be honest. No. It'd have to have its own postcode to be as big as your TV. Anyway,
so Lauren was like, I'm going to get pizza. And Steve goes, how many pizzas are you getting? And she goes, two. And he's like, double it. And she's like, all right, fine. I'll get four pizzas. And he's like, double it again. And she's like, no.
Why didn't you just tell me to quadruple it to begin with?
Yeah,
let's save,
like,
time,
no.
Save everyone some time.
And he's like, ah, boo. He was a little drunk. He goes, ah, boo. So Lauren orders pizza. And he goes, Lauren, where'd you order pizza from? She's like, oh, I ordered it from Four Star Pizza, which is a very interesting name for a pizza restaurant, by the way, because they're admitting they're 4 out of 5.
I mean, honest. I think that's what I appreciate. Like, in Glasgow, there was a place we used to walk past that was called Decent Tandoori.
Was it?
It's not going to be the best tandoori you've ever had.
No, they didn't
promise
that.
It's fine. No, it is, but this thing, they're not saying amazing tandoori. It's decent tandoori.
So Steve wasn't happy
pizza,
with
you
this.
Look at it. The thing is, if they're like 5-star pizza, I'm like,
You'll approach with skepticism, right? Yeah.
I'm suspicious. If they say four-star pizza, I'm like, I believe that. I believe you're capable of 4-star pizza for sure.
Steve was not satisfied with Lauren ordering just 4 pizzas.
What's he going to double it? I want 8-star pizza.
Steve ordered 4 more pizzas by himself. From
that's
4 different pizza places.
This is just an absurd thing for him.
You know the little car park outside my apartment?
Like, yeah.
There was a traffic jam of pizza delivery guys.
There's like 6 spaces in that
like
car park.
Like Peter went out and like collected the pizza, and then another guy pulled up and was like, a pizza delivery, and Peter was like, that's mine too. And the guy was like, yeah. Are you sure? And he's
strange.
Like, yeah, no, yeah. Is it for Steve? And he's like, yeah. He's like, yeah, it's me. And the guy's like, okay.
The pizza delivery guys are just there, like, clicking their fingers, like that scene
from
West
Side
Story.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, spoiler alert, it was too much goddamn pizza.
Well, that's all upside for you, though. They're not taking that home.
That's true. Well, some of them, Steve's a moron, some of them came with sides. And I was like, what are you doing, man?
That man's got too much money.
Yeah, so that was part of what happened on Saturday. Everyone was pretty beyond the pale of the stage. So I mean,
what do you think of the result? I couldn't believe it, honestly. What a shock!
It was
couldn't
pretty,
believe the result of Eurovision.
Well,
it was huge.
The Ukraine one. You didn't watch the Eurovision, did you?
No, I mean, I loved it. I mean the drama, Dennis.
The
ups and downs.
Ukraine did not do very well.
That's what I was going to say.
Round.
Yeah, and then it all changed, of course.
And when did it? And it changed when?
When, of course,
Ukraine got a comical amount of the audience vote, and that worked.
Of course, audience vote, which is
it's
so important,
show.
Isn't it? Or is it not? Is the audience
it's half important. It's half and half.
It's really important. The audience vote, obviously. So
the writers say, and of course, the audience vote. Ugh, we all know how important that is. Could go either way.
That's what I should. Yeah, that. Yeah, I fumbled the bag a little bit on
so
that.
So I've fully hijacked your topic now.
No, that's fine. That's good, man.
What did you do this past weekend, Riley?
Oh, yeah, not too much. We don't need to get into that. You went to I remember you... Didn't you go to some live music or something as well?
What is going on?
Yeah. No, I'm just trying to catch up with you, man.
I'm very confused. Yeah, I went to a public service broadcasting gig on Monday.
No, that's not a... you know, This American Life.
PBS. No, it's not. It's not PBS. It's PSB.
No. Yeah, exactly.
It is a South London techno krautrock band, I believe, officially.
Yeah,
let me tell you, I felt very cool going. It was a cool vibe there.
Now, this is an interesting take. This is an interesting bit of spin you're putting on the story, Dennis, because last time you told me the story, you said you felt very uncool going.
Oh, sorry. I felt very uncool. Mm. The gig felt very cool. Do you understand?
So you felt like you gained cool points by going to
it. I felt like I was dragging the average down, but it was all upside for me. And Roddy, you, of course, also a fan of public service broadcasting.
I do like them. Not the new album's weird, but I like the one. I like
the new album
one
sounds like it's geared towards you. It's a techno album in German about living in Berlin.
Okay, I lived in Berlin for a while, but I don't like techno.
Yeah,
I like the I like the album about spaceships.
That one was good. I sent really you. Good. I sent you some videos I took of the
gig. Yeah. No, it's I appreciate it because I obviously got like the text from you being like, oh, I'm here at this public service broadcasting thing.
And that was just on a Monday video, for you, right? That was just any other Monday.
So obviously like, it's just interesting that obviously like you thought of me at that show. Like I was in your, and you also like, yeah. And you obviously like you tweeted about it as well. And you mentioned how like we bonded over this band, that sort of stuff. So just trying to establish some facts here, Dennis. Yeah. Just trying to establish some facts.
I think those are the only noteworthy things that happen. Like if I look at a calendar, those are the only things that
evidently. Evidently. Yeah. Because
I forgot about it again until just now in the conversation. I had no
idea. It's not often that you get your birthday forgotten about twice in a year,
no.
Dennis. But you just forgot about the fact that you forgot my birthday.
I did forget about that.
So, revered listener at home, let me walk you through what happened. Right, my birthday was on Monday.
Yeah.
And let me tell you something about the time zones, right? We get up very early in Australia, right? We're one of the first nations to greet the new day, right?
You're the first people to see Helios as he comes flying across the sky.
Exactly. Our mighty celestial overlord, right? We're one of the first nations greeted by him as he transverses the sky, right? Now, I was willing, like I got birthday wishes from people on their 15th of May. Highly illegal. Right, because I turned 33 on the 16th, but they risked it all, Dennis, to give me a time-appropriate birthday wish. Right on my 16th,
mm-hmm.
No such message was forthcoming from Dennis. But I thought,
why would I do that? That's unreasonable.
He's obviously going to send it on his 16th, even if that's my 17th, that still counts, right? But we get to, you know, Irish 16th, mm-hmm, absolutely mm-hmm, nothing. Mm-hmm. I go to bed, unable to sleep. Right. Tears soaking my pillow. He's forgotten me. I mean nothing to this man, right? But I wake up in the morning and you know what? I'm going to get a message from him. Wake up in the morning, sure enough, message waiting for me from Dennis. Hey man, having a great time at this concert.
Thinking of you.
No, not thinking of me. Just like
I believe I actually just sent you the video clip. No comment.
Yeah, you just sent me a video at this, and like
I,
that was it.
You know
right?
what? The worst part is I saw that you'd seen it and I was like, oh, I thought he replied to that.
And then there's a tweet being like, oh, yeah, I love this band. You know, something that Ryan and I bonded over.
You get it. At Stranek has mentioned you on Twitter.
Exactly. I'm like, oh, maybe birthday message. No, more about this bloody PBS, PSB, whatever, right? So I'm thinking, okay, interesting. I'm clearly in his thoughts, but not in the way that, you know, you'd think it'd be necessarily what would happen.
I think that gets me off a lot of the slack, to be honest.
It definitely does not, because it only, Dennis, to borrow a phrase from Half-Earth History, it only gets worse from here, right? Because then Dennis, later on, right? Because I was on the stream again, tears streaming down my face, talking to my audience. They're all consoling me. Oh, it's okay. You know, he's still like, you know, it's just he just forgot. Whatever. It's not a big deal. That sort of stuff, right? As we counted down to midnight in Ireland, for it to tick over the 17th, so now it's late, right? The next day, right, which is now the 18th for me. Dennis took a very interesting line in trying to get
this one.
He took a very, very interesting line in trying to get this one, just like slip it under the radar.
I did. It was pretty tactful, I thought.
He goes, hey man, how's your birthday? Did you have a good time?
Past tense.
Yeah. So just sliding into my DMs like nothing had happened. Just being like, how's your birthday? Of course. I mean, we both knew it was your birthday, of course. I'm just checking in with you now after the fact, just making sure you had a good day, right?
I have two defenses.
I haven't finished laying out. Okay. We're still in the prosecution phase, man.
Sustain.
right? You can sit down and wait your turn, right? The defense just has to rest for just a little moment more. So obviously I'm heartbroken. I'm trying to sellotape together the pieces of my shattered heart here as my best mate has let me down on my birthday, the most special of all days.
No, agent didn't text you.
Yeah, you know, pretty good. A little half-hearted apology in there. Yeah, sorry, man. Just didn't have time to text. Was so busy. Went to this
time
show.
Time to text you about other things.
Had time to text me about being at the gig. Had time to tweet about how good this gig was. Didn't have time to then just like
I just
when he sent me this video of
them
saying a Spitfire bird. You couldn't have just been like, oh, also happy
also
birthday.
Also happy birthday.
Like nothing, right? Stone nothing. And now I look at this and I'm like, this is fine because I can turn this into a positive because what I'm going to really enjoy doing is watching squirm. Right.
My gift to you is you not having to think when about different topics.
It's a free week of content for me. I don't have to think of a topic this week because I can just roast you about forgetting my birthday. What I didn't expect, Dennis, was to turn up on this call, set up what I thought was a very obvious sort of lead into the fact. And you were just like, what is he doing here? Asking about my weekend, asking about what I did on the Monday. Did anything happen on Monday? God. Was Monday important in any other way apart from the fact that I went and saw this band?
Riley, I have two questions. I have a defense of my own, which could backfire. And then I have a defense of you, which eradicates my first defense. Riley, when's my birthday?
Your birthday, Dennis, is the 28th of June.
Son of a bitch. It is.
28th?
It is.
Yes. It is 28th. Yes, okay. I was gambling. It was either the 28th or the 26th, and I'm glad I landed 28th. Yeah.
That would have been a defense if you'd gotten it wrong a little bit. But furthermore, last week when we talked, you were like, oh, my birthday's next week.
Dennis, every act of whataboutism is a confession.
Oh, I obviously forgot your birthday. There's no, you don't want to know why I texted you the next day?
In my client's defense, he did do it, yes. But have we not all murdered someone in cold blood at some point?
Riley, do you know why I texted you the next day being like, how was your birthday? Do you know what prompted that?
What was that?
Someone DM'd me saying, hey, I'm watching Riley's stream. You have 13 minutes to wish him happy birthday. And I didn't see it until the next
day. That would have been Simon Coogan. Yep.
I believe so.
And you know, when he messaged you that and he said in the stream, I've messaged him to give him a reminder. I'm like, this is perfect. I didn't want you to do this. And I kind of don't want you to have done this. But it did mean that even if you'd come in and said it, I would have been like,
no credit. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I just forgot your birthday. I'm very sorry. You know what the best part is?
Oh, what? I mean, it's not going to... The bar is on the floor, Dennis, for there to be a good part here.
When we met and we talked about it, what did we do that day when we talked about this? Have we talked since? Or when did we talk? We talked on Sunday?
No, I wish we talked on Sunday, Dennis.
We had a brief catch-up that wasn't recording.
No, yeah. Illegal, highly illegal. Sorry about this,
everyone.
Was
that on Monday?
I think it was Tuesday.
Yesterday was Tuesday for me, so there's no way it was yesterday.
Okay, it was Monday for you, Tuesday for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what we did on that call?
Mm.
You bought me a gift!
Oh, that's the other thing. Yes. Yeah. 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 I bought Dennis a gift after my birthday.
So if you want to read my version of How to Win Friends and Influence People, you can get it at any good bookstore. Jedi Mind Tricks to Forget Your Friend's Birthday and Have Them Buy You a Gift.
And Have Them Buy a Present. Well, look, I mean, I should come forth with my own act of contrition here because the gift I bought you had nothing to do with my birthday. It was actually, do you know one of the reasons, because it's been on my list for a long time to buy you this gift. It is
my 6.5 month late wedding present.
It was a very late wedding present.
We talked about your original attempt at a wedding present. It was very honorable and very sweet. Mm-hmm. I tried
very hard.
If it was truly the thought that counted, full marks.
Mm-hmm. It is not, obviously it's not the thought that counts. It's not the anything that counts when it's Dennis, when it comes to Dennis. And so I did buy you a copy of Terraforming Mars.
Which is a board game that you think I'd like. It arrived today.
Well, here's something that we kind of got across as well, because one of the reasons that I'd had trouble finding something for you is because I also needed to buy something for Nikki.
You're trying to buy something
woman,
for us.
The woman what you married, right? Mm-hmm. Because a good wedding present is for both of the parties. But then we kind of settled on, I think stuff it. Dennis can have this one because Nikki got a lot of presents.
Yeah, Nick, we got a lot of champagne that I don't want to drink. So, I'll take it.
And there was that painting as well of like Nikki on a horse or whatever it was. What was it? That her uncle did? Didn't your uncle do a painting of Nikki
nice
as a mermaid or something?
No, there's a painting and it's kind of like abstract of like some reeds in the sky. There's no Nikki as a mermaid.
Wasn't it a huge painting that like was bigger than your TV somehow? Didn't you have to get the roof taken off to like sky to like lift it in?
I can't tell where you're joking because we did get.
No,
quite
it's
a
not
large
a joke. I just remember when we, like in the lead up to the wedding, you were talking about how her uncle or something or a long lost relative of hers did this enormous painting.
It is an enormous painting. It's in the hallway now. I actually quite like it, but it's not of her as a mermaid.
I thought it was of her. I don't know why I thought it was of her.
It was for her. That would be very
it was
weird.
Of her as like a mermaid or like on a horse or something like
how
that.
How would I have not sent you a photo of that by now if that had been the case?
Oh, because I don't know. You don't have a wide-angle lens to get this you know, true. This that's 20 meter true. Wide and 5 meter tall painting done. You know, this like this.
It's two this, mega
Amsterdam Rijksmuseum size painting that you had to remove a wall to enter it into your house.
Amy Riley, I'm sorry, I forgot your birthday.
That's
also,
right.
You reminded me about it last week.
There's always next year.
Who knows when you'll have another one.
Yeah, and that's the thing, Dennis. You've just got to keep guessing because you know it's not guessing. As though it happens on every. It doesn't happen every single year at the same day. I love that your defense was as if I didn't know, man.
Riley, one moment, Alexa, remind me on May 15th that Riley's birthday is tomorrow.
And you've even got extra time.
10 a.m.
As well. You've even got extra time to get it because of the time zone. All right.
She wants
it sounds like I can hear Alexa in the background. She's confirming that appointment.
Yeah, yeah. So roughly a year from today.
We'll see. We'll check back in. We'll check back in and see if you actually have cleared the bar, cleared this particular hurdle.
I'm not very good with birthdays.
Well.
It's true. I'm sorry. I wish there was more to it. I'm just not very good with birthdays.
I mean, you did score yourself a fair bit of birthday credit 2 years ago.
When I bought you chicken on your birthday, because you were up late. So you were up late doing what you're doing right now.
I had a very, very bad 31st birthday. It was, I'd agreed, because like we were in lockdown, right? And I'd got a gig to do commentary, and I was like, stuff it. I'm not going to do anything else. It's not like I can go out and meet friends or anything. I may as well just do it. The day ended up being about 14 hours long. It was a very tough, grueling day of work, and yeah, to make matters worse, it was my 31st, and Dennis managed to lift the vibe considerably by ordering me about 15 kilograms of fried chicken.
I texted your then girlfriend Megan, still your girlfriend, asking for her address.
Yes, my then and now girlfriend. Yes.
Yeah, big Mitch Hedberg. So I could send you, and I just went on the. I was like, "Is this chicken place any good?" She's like, "Yeah, it's fine." And I basically got you one of everything on the menu. I was like, "Bam, bam, 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 bam."
Yeah. I mean, I love fried chicken.
Me too.
One note I have for the creators of fried chicken: I don't know if there is a way that they could do this, but it's not that good the next day.
Doesn't keep, huh?
Like pizza?
You know what?
I think next day fridge pizza is actually better.
I had a friend once who, still my friend, again, I'm all about that today, who would order a pizza. We'd be able to go over to his, hang out, and like drink beers and play video games. And he'd order a pizza and it would arrive and he'd just put it in the fridge. And I was like, you're a lunatic.
That's a bit much.
I hate leftover pizza. Right? Those leftover pizzas that Steve ordered, I threw them out.
You are history's greatest monster.
I don't like leftover pizza.
I'm more upset about that than the birthday thing.
I hate leftover pizza. It's garbage.
Are you kidding? It's so good.
You ate that leftover pizza the morning of my wedding.
I had so much of that mega wheel, dude.
Mega wheel like, spice bag mega wheel pizza.
Well, because you didn't want it. Darren wasn't eating it either, right?
Darren's vegetarian. It was covered in fried chicken.
When his fiance turned up as well, right? I was like, have some pizza. Like, I'm not having this. It's 8 o'clock in the morning. I've just done my makeup. I'm not eating pizza. I'm not even leftover pizza. Oh, the other thing about that pizza, didn't put it in the fridge.
No, just sitting on the table.
It was too big. It just sat on the table all night. And then I had two pieces before we went to the wedding. And the reason I had to do that is because we were going to this bloody 2-star French Michelin restaurant. Mm-hmm. And I was worried that I wasn't going to eat for the rest of the day. So I'm like, I'm going to have two pieces of this mega wheel.
Front load.
Exactly. Front loading at the wedding. Anyway.
Riley.
Go on.
I want to talk to you about your high school experience, or as I would call it, my secondary school experience.
We call it secondary school over here as well. High school, secondary school. Yeah.
Perfect. So I want to talk to you specifically about something you mentioned earlier before we started recording. It's in the Patreon exclusive part of the recording, patreon.com/shop.
All right, mate. We don't need to come on. The idea of this isn't to shamelessly plug and make money. This is about content generation. This is about creating content for people that is, you know, light, frothy,
and
low investment.
patreon.com/listen-list.
All right. Okay. So, well, this,
I want to know about the locker situation at your secondary school.
Oh, all right. Okay. I got some. There's some juice here, Dennis. You found a juicy old orange.
Oh, we hit a deep one.
The locker politics at Melbourne High School. My goodness me.
So
did you have blocks of two or three lockers?
We had vast rows of like 50.
No, no, no. As in like high? Stacked high on
too
top
high,
of each
too
other.
High.
Too high. Too high.
Okay. I had a bottom locker.
We had three high and bottom lockers.
Ooh, middle locker. In, ugh.
No, no, middle locker. Like some... Oh, yeah. We'll get into it. Yeah, but tell us about yours.
So my locker was in the A corridor, which had almost no lockers in. That was... Yeah. But it was part of a standalone unit. So it was just my locker and one other locker, just tucked in a corner.
That's not bad.
Very odd.
That's a good situation.
I never used it. In my...
So did you have the same locker for 6 years?
Yeah.
Oh, we changed every year. Wow.
Why?
Because your homeroom changed depending on like where your year level.
Let me tell you about this great system where at the end of the year, you give the 6th year's lockers to the 1st year's in next year, and then you move on.
But what if your homeroom is like across the other side of the school?
How often did you have to go to your homeroom?
Oh, you went to a tiny school, didn't you? There were like 3 people in your class.
No, in primary school. My secondary school had like, I had like 138 people in my class.
Oh, okay. That's weird.
Yeah. My homeroom was just there for what, 20 minutes at the start of the day. That was it. And you went to benefit your classes.
Yeah, I mean, that is true. And also for some of them, oh man, I got so much
so
locker.
So, I never used my locker because I would get, I realized very quickly in the 1st year, I would get to class and be like, I left the thing in my locker.
Mm-hmm.
Every time. So, yep. What I would do is, Riley, I would just carry all of my books all of the time.
That's the worst thing.
Have you seen my shoulders? This is why.
Yeah, like, this is why I would just like yoked like an ox.
I would just lug them around easily, yeah. Like, 20, 30 kilos of books all day long, every day. Never forgot anything. Never remembered a pen, ever. Not once.
Dennis, none of this surprises me.
No.
None of this surprises me.
Yeah. How do you play around refusing to prepare for things? Prepare for everything.
Well, except, but then also not having a pen.
Oh, yeah. No. Never had a pen. Like that's... Or paper. Never had paper. Oh, my God. Never had paper.
So you just carried around your textbooks and nothing else and then borrowed everything off other people.
Exactly correct.
We could just never have been friends.
Why?
Because that would have infuriated me, man.
Did you have bagging in secondary school?
Bagging?
Yeah, bagging. I'm sure you call it something nonsense in Australian. But it's where someone's not looking. You take their bag. You take all the stuff out of it. You turn the bag inside out. You put all the stuff back in and you zip it up again.
I wish we had that technology in high school.
You didn't have bagging?
That's so cool.
And then you got into layers. Because then sometimes you'd open the bag that had been bagged. Yeah. And inside you'd find a pencil case that had been pencil cased. One time we lunched a guy. So I opened his lunchbox. I took his like ham and cheese sandwich, bread in the middle, ham and cheese on the outside, wrapped it back up, lunchbox in the bag, bagged the bag. And then there was lockering. We just break into the locker and throw their stuff all over the floor.
Yeah, that's not.
That's just vandalism.
Oh, man.
You didn't even have bagging. They had to ban it.
We didn't have bagging. We had tagging, but we didn't have bagging.
What's tagging? Like graffiti?
So tagging. So we had to wear uniforms, right, at high school. And we had as part of the uniform.
I went to a very progressive school. The first 3 years, you had to wear the uniform, which was a hoodie that had the school name on it. And then third, fourth, fifth, and sixth, no uniforms.
We had full-on, like, shirt, tie.
Most everything. Schools here have that, to be fair.
In the summer, you had to wear shorts with high walk socks. So,
well,
like,
that would have been
long
a look,
socks
huh?
That went all the way up. The thing is... I thought, oh, this would be super nerdy and no one would actually do it, right? Everyone would like let the socks sort of drag, like flap around their ankles. No, all the cool kids had the socks pulled fully up.
Weird.
Right? Yeah, I know, it's weird. Anyway, so tagging was a tradition that they really tried very hard to stamp out, because what you would do to year nines, right? And my high school started at year nine, is you would get you'd get a year nine's tie. Right, mm-hmm. Under the pretense of like straightening it or something, and then you would put your finger behind it. You know, in the tag where you can mm-hmm. tuck, like a tie has like a little loop behind it.
Yeah, a little strap that you tuck the short end into.
You tuck the short end like that. You get that, and you rip it down,
mm-hmm.
and this off. Destroys the tie.
Yeah,
right, because it's stitched in, like the tie is stitched together on the back.
Oh, so it rips lengthways. Yeah, yeah.
It rips the tie lengthways, and they just get this flopping mess of fabric. Right. I got 4 year 9s.
It's like pocketing. Pocketing's very similar.
In year 10. Yeah, yeah. It's like ripping off a pocket. Yeah. So I got 4 year 9s my first day, got a detention for it, and was told we're not doing tag anymore. It's like, it's a school tradition. Everyone, like, when you're in year 9, you have to go around, like, make mm-hmm. sure you don't get tagged. But it was monstrously unfair that, you know, the year that I became, it became a legal play for me to do because I was in year 10. That was the year they really cracked down on it. We weren't allowed to tag kids anymore.
We had the Thunderdome. I remember this was the thing when I was a first year.
Oh, man, let's go.
There was a choke point. Basically, to get to like where the majority of the lockers and classes are, there was one hall you had to go through.
Yeah, the Thunderdome.
And fifth and sixth tiers would lie on each side of the hall. And the hall was maybe three people wide.
Oh, this
so
is
if you
so
have people
good.
On either side, you're really confined yeah. to quite a salsa maze. Yeah. And you would first just walk in and you would just shove them back in like, yeah. like a yeah. pinball machine.
Like a pinball machine, yep.
I was never an arbiter of the Thunderdome. Like much like you, it had faded by the time I got there. But I got Thunderdomed, let me tell you.
Yeah, yeah. But you weren't ever able to Thunderdome people. Yeah, very, very, very annoying.
One time, we had non-uniform days occasionally, which, as I already mentioned, our uniform was very lax, so like big deal. And I forgot once.
Mm.
And so a bunch of 6 years just tore all my clothes off.
High school? You do the most ridiculous, like the thing.
Teenage boys are barbarians. Like it's exactly. It is. We are moments away from Lord of the Flies at any second.
We had what we called some games, right? Some games that we used to play. One of the games is when the lunch or the recess bell went, right? First, you have to go back into class. We would all stand in a circle, right? And this circle would kind of guard the two entrances and exits to the canteen. And anyone who walked through the circle, we would just beat up.
Yeah.
Right.
Much like the Thunderdome.
Whether they were our friends or not, like little unions had to go all the way around through the long way up above the into the science rooms to walk above on the sort of gantry or like the walkway above the canteen so they could get to class. Because if they walked through the circle, we'd all just get in there and start punching them. But then it turned into basically a game of chicken because everyone to exit, like if you wanted to be part of this circle that anyone walked through, you'd beat them up. To leave, you then had to walk through the circle.
Mm.
So it was like, who's going to be late to legal studies and get yelled at by Miss Randall, right? Are you going to do that or are you going to walk through the circle and, you know,
are you more afraid of Miss Randall or
kick,
beating, yeah.
kick the shit out of you? Exactly, right? And that was a game.
It's not a game. Boys are horrible.
Masculinity
is toxic.
On the oval, right?
What is the oval?
Like a footy oval.
Football is played in squares, really?
No,
or
football rectangles? Is played in... No, it's not. In Australia, it's played in an oval. It's like a cricket field, right?
Okay.
We play, again, a game. You could go to the PE department and you could borrow a ball, right, just to play with, right?
Mm-hmm.
You'd think we would kick this ball or throw this ball to each other. No. The game was called beatdowns, and whoever had the ball was a legitimate target for whatever you wanted to
it's
do
like
to
hot
them.
Potato, but with fists.
And so if they had the ball, you could trip them over, you could dack them, you could rip their shirt off, you could punch them, kick them, do whatever, right? And the idea was to hold onto the ball for as long as possible. Thinking back on it now, I think a better goal would be to get rid of the ball as fast
yeah,
as possible.
Yeah, because I thought
so
that was the intent.
You don't get hit too
yeah.
much. No. The idea was to hold onto the ball for as long as possible while it was, you know, it wasn't, there weren't teams. It was 1v all.
Mm.
And that, Dennis, was a game, what we
That's
played
not a
in
game.
High school.
Oh
anyway, let me bring
you
up to speed on the locker situation in Melbourne High. So the lockers were in rows or in columns of three.
Okay.
Now, top locker, prime real estate.
Prime real
everyone,
estate.
Everyone wanted the top locker.
Our right. prime real estate was the music building had full-length lockers, so you could like put a guitar in it.
Oh, full-length
and
locker.
And occasionally, through some finagling, like your uncle, you the caretaker, you get a full-length locker, no guitar to put in it.
That's huge.
Huge.
That's huge, dude. Yeah, yeah. So I was lucky enough to get a full a top locker in year 9.
Must be
year
nice.
10, bottom locker, right?
Mm.
Now, there were some maniacs who considered the bottom locker better than the middle locker.
Based on
like
what?
As you said before, middle locker, like being stuck between two people, there were some people who didn't like that and they felt, you know, they could like sneak in down the bottom, kind of crowd to the bottom, like this sort of thing, right? But what I attempted to do in year 10, because I'd had this top locker for, you know, the in year 9, I knew how good it was. I tried to drum up support amongst the other bottom lockers, right? To say like, well, it's only fair halfway through the year that we swap and get the top locker, right?
You tried to unionize.
I was trying to unionize the bottom lockers, right? Rise up, right? We have nothing to lose but our bottom lockers. Didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
The guy who was on the top locker above me was just like, no. Right? And the teachers were like, sorry, we're not going to change the rules just to suit you halfway through. So I was stuck with the bottom locker, right? But then in year 12, I made a very persuasive argument because, I mean, I wasn't huge or anything. I'm 183, so I'm like 6 foot tall, right? By the time I was 18, I was about that height. So I'd sort of grown into the size that I am now. But the person who, I got a middle locker in year 12, but the person who, I can't remember his name, he was smaller than me. quite a bit smaller than me.
You can take him, is what I'm hearing.
Dennis,
Riley, did you bully your way into a top locker?
Okay, let's not start throwing around words like bully, because certainly that wasn't the case, right?
Extort?
We had a reasoned discussion.
Did you play a quick game of beatdown for it?
About the suitability, right, of our lockers and our respective heights, right? We had a discussion mm-hmm. about which. Because,
of course, you were 6 foot
more...
tall, and if he was a bottom locker, he was probably, what, 2 foot tall, I assume? That would make sense, right?
Well, by the time I'd finished with him, he certainly was. Exactly. I put him in the ground. No. Okay, let me make this very clear.
Because I would argue, Riley, even if he's a foot and a half shorter than you, like let's say he's 4 foot six, he still probably wants a top locker.
Look, I did bring him around to my point of view. By the end of it,
I thought you were going to say my place.
The middle locker.
What did you do to get this locker?
It was wine and dined him, Dennis. No. We are kind of making this to sound like I was a horrible bully and I bullied this like short kid into giving me his middle locker.
And that's what happened.
It's actually not what happened. I was actually like, hey, man, I'm a lot taller than you. Like, can I have the top locker? And he was like, I don't really care about this enough. So sure.
And
so
he,
3 years.
And he put
3 years out of my four,
books.
I had the top.
Took all of his books, put them in his one bag, and that kid's name, Dennis Straniak.
I don't think there's any chance that I could have taken a top locker off of you.
No. I've been this size since I was 16.
You've had 6 years of carrying on 50 kilograms worth of textbooks, right?
That's true.
I was fast, but I wasn't strong.
If I hit you, though, you're going down.
the only speed I would have been feeling is the speed at which I hit the floor.
Yeah. Was there ever any, like, mythical... characters.
I just want to make this very clear, okay? Because I do feel bad about it. I definitely like did bully people in high school, right? I just want to make it clear, and I feel bad about the way that I treated other people, right? In high school, particularly when I was 15 and 16, I was everyone in teenagers they do shitty things, of course, but like I wasn't nice. There were some kids that I weren't nice to because I also was picked on by other kids, and so you hurt people, you take it out on other people, and I feel bad about it. It is what it is, but this particular instance
was a diplomatic victory.
Well, I was trying to make it. You know, it was like, we sit down and had a reasoned discussion. We actually did, but it just sounds like I'm being euphemistic.
It
and
just
it's
sounds
like
you beat
this
him
up.
It sounds like once he was in the wheelchair for 6 months, he was fine to have the middle locker. That's what it sounds like.
All right, that's not what happened. Anyway, Dennis, go on. Sorry.
What I was saying was, I don't remember what I was saying now. What did I say? We were talking about the lockers. We were talking about me carrying the books. Mm. Oh, did you have any like mythical, as was it, creatures, figures in your school?
Oh, Mr. Blomley.
What did Mr. Blomley do?
Well, what Mr. Blomley did, according to... So Mr. Blomley was the substitute teacher, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he was the standard person who was called in whenever a teacher was away sick, right? So whenever you had blommers, you knew you weren't doing any work because this
guy...
You're
watching Planet Earth, baby, all day long. Let's go.
He was so... Like, he'd come and be like, so it says here that Mr. Wood wants you to complete pages. And he was very scattered, right? Now, I heard when I was in Year 9 from... I can't remember their names, the twins. There was a set of twins in year 12 who told me, right, and this story was pretty well known around the school, that he got caught by a group of kids at my school coming out of a strip club.
Whoa!
And this caused him to have a nervous breakdown, right? And so he was a little bit sort of scattered after that. And he, you know, coming back to school was something that, you know, he could only do be a substitute teacher. And I mean, this story sounds pretty nasty and I don't think it was true. Mm-hmm. But it was this rumor that was spread around everywhere that he got caught by... What were the high schoolers doing at the strip club to catch Mr. Blomley there, is my question.
Yeah, I don't know. I was going to say...
But Mr. Blomley was, he was a little bit lost, but it was always like when he turned up, right... You knew. He's one. I mean, it's not the same with every substitute teacher, but you knew you weren't doing any work that period, right?
Did I ever tell you about the pure meritocracy that we had in school?
Okay, go on.
So almost all subjects here, when you do your... It's called a leaving certificate here. It's the equivalent of the SATs or the equivalent of like your GCSEs.
Mm-hmm.
Your big exam you do that decides too much of your life when you're 18. It's that one.
Yeah, the big one, yeah.
You do a smaller version of that when you're 15, third year. And you get sorted into classes based on how well you do in that. And so every subject can be done at higher level or at ordinary level. And then some subjects can be done at foundation level. But higher level, you can get up to 100 points. Ordinary level, you can only get up to 60 points.
Mm-hmm.
But the substrata, Riley, there is a, within higher level, in Irish, for example, I had to do Irish in school. There was Higher Irish, taught by Miss Nealon, and then Higher Higher Irish.
Double Higher.
Taught by Mr. Gallagher. Mr. Gallagher was not there to teach you Irish. Mr. Gallagher was there to get you an A on that Irish exam.
Yes. Yeah. Yep.
He printed a manifesto, right? Of all the things you need to learn, the phrases. He's like, you don't need to learn how to conjugate verbs in the conditional future tense. You need to learn these three sentences that make it sound like you know how to do that.
Yes.
All that stuff. Yep. He charged us for this manifesto. He was
that
like,
"That is what I'm I, sorry. What? Okay, that's bizarre. I had a psychology teacher who didn't teach us psychology. She just taught us the exam, right? And I remember really distinctly. It was one of the greatest letdowns I ever felt from a teacher when I asked a supplementary question from on some topic. We're talking about classical conditioning. I'm like, oh, but what about this? She's like, that's not on the exam. You don't need to know it. I'm like, I don't need to know it. Learning, I would just like to know it because it's interesting, right? But she's like, we don't need to talk about that. It's not the exam. I was like, anyway.
Oof.
She never charged us, Dennis.
You know, £5 a pop, these manifestos. I think he said it was to cover the printing costs or something, but I'm pretty sure he just printed them in the staff
room. What was he printing them on?
I don't know. Vinyl? No.
Yeah. Like, what was the golden filigree? Was it like a wedding invitation?
But, Riley, if you ever got less than a B.
Mr. Gallagher, he's coming for you.
He would be like, one more of those. And you're in next door to the other higher level class.
You're going to Higher Irish, not Higher Irish.
And he was like,
Irish.
And you know what that is? And he pulled you in and he go, that's the fast track to ordinary level, that is. And I was like, this woman's your colleague. You're just like.
There's nothing worse than that. There's nothing worse than ordinary level Irish.
And I was, oh. And then Brendan, a guy, a real person whose real name I used, got bumped from our class to next door to Miss Nealon's class.
Mm.
And then. A couple weeks passed and he came in to like get something. She was like, this teacher was like, can you go borrow this from Mr. Gallagher? He goes, yeah. Walks in and he hands him the note and he goes, oh, you miss me around here? And Mr. Gallagher looks at him and he goes, who are you? It was so brutal, dude.
Mr. Gallagher.
Mythical figure. Like, absolute. He had a very very high Northern Irish accent. I'm not going to attempt to do it. Very like Derry Girls vibes.
Yes, yeah.
And he was so angry. If you were talking that through, he'd yell, be like, hi, Tweedledum and Tweedledip shit, cut it out. And he'd be like, whoa, okay. Yeah,
that's Mr. Pask.
Yeah, he was like, I am here to get you guys A's and get out of here. And we're like, okay, fine.
Mr. Pask was one of the angriest teachers I ever had. And he would flip between like just regular happy, quite funny, right? Like make gags and all sorts of stuff. But at the drop of a hat, he would go into full-on bellowing at you across the room, that sort of thing, right? He was terrifying. He was so scary, man. But do you know how good he was at geography? He was so good at geography that he wasn't allowed to teach the year 12s, right? Like the final year high school kids, because, Dennis, he wrote the exam for the state.
Oh, that's cool.
He was the geographer in chief for the state of Victoria, this guy.
That's pretty cool.
And I remember, like, because I didn't like him very much because he was quite a nasty man a lot of the time. But I couldn't help that when I noticed, and to his credit, he never pointed this out, but when I noticed that the Heinemann student atlas that we all had was authored or overseen or executive produced by none other than Raymond Pask, I couldn't help but feel a bit starstruck, and I don't know why. Like, at the age of 16, I'm like, oh, I know the author of this student Heinemann Atlas. Like, that's pretty big for me.
How the sixth-year High Irish book co-authored Mr. Hugh Gallagher.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Absolutely. Yeah. This guy was teaching higher Irish.
Absolutely, dude. At one of the most schools in the area.
Yeah. Yeah,
one of the most in the area school there was. Riley, there's one thing I want to talk to you about because you're a history buff, a historian, you might say.
I wouldn't go that far, but yep, sure.
Can I explain to you how I tried to hack my final history exam?
Oh, I'm loving this. Yeah, I mean, have you seen? I posted on Twitter a couple of months ago. I posted my year 11 history report card. Did you see that?
How was it?
I failed.
You failed.
I failed, and Mr. Wakeham just wrote
it's not called. It's about, not called full ass history. It's not called full ass history.
Mr. Wakeham wrote at length in the report card comments talking about how I didn't take it seriously. Everything was a joke to me. It was all I did was just trying to appear entertaining. Well, joke's on you, Mr. Wakeham. I've built a very successful history podcast on being entertaining and not really knowing what I'm talking about. Oh, so get God. It up, yeah. Anyway, halfasthistory.net. Yeah, but kind of listen to it. Anyway, go on, sorry, Dennis.
For the long form question, which is the plupart of the exam, it was marked out of 60.
Okay.
Okay. And you would be given, each paragraph you wrote would be graded out of 12.
Okay, so you need to write five paragraphs.
You write about five paragraphs, you would get a maximum of 60.
Mm-hmm.
But there is no limit on the number of paragraphs you can write.
Scattershot.
And so if you wrote 60 paragraphs, for example.
You're throwing up spaghetti at the wall, Dennis. Some of it's going to stick.
But you'd have to get one at least on all of them. And that's full marks.
Seems to be a bit of a flaw. A procedural flaw has been baked into this exam format, to be honest. Yeah.
So I would write, we get it, I say my history teacher was great, her name was Miss Kennedy. I did turn of the century, I actually started American history, like 20th century American history, so like the Vietnam War and all that stuff.
Yep.
And you'd get a thing that was like discuss, you know, General MacArthur's quote about the Vietnam War being lost in the living rooms of America, not on the battlefields of Vietnam.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd be expected to write like three pages, three or four pages. I would routinely write, because Riley, I'm nothing if not a fast writer. I would routinely write 15 to 16 pages.
Unbelievable. It doesn't surprise me at all. Yep.
And it was like, it was full of like decent content and the dates were right, but it was just everything was in there.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Everything was in there. Mm-hmm. Riley, I got a B. And you can go and check why you can get your, you know, check your exam as to what happened. And I went in with Miss Kennedy and she took it back and she was like, Dennis, you won't believe this. I was like, what do you mean? She turns it towards me. This examiner, Riley, I think his name was Martin because they have to sign it at the end.
Yeah.
Had taken 2, 3, 4 pages at a time and marked them as one paragraph. And I was like, nonsense!
That's good. I like that. He wasn't playing by your rules.
Dude, I got countered.
You got backpacked because you got bagged because you were like, I'm going to turn the bag inside out, right? And I'm going to play by my own rules in this thing. And Martin was like, joke's on you. I can carry around an inside out bag all
I want. I was just trying to get him out of there early. Just read the whole thing. Give me a 54 and move on.
B plus is pretty good, man. Come on.
I should have gotten an A.
You should have gotten an A?
If I'd gotten an A, my life would be very different. Because I was like only like 5 or 10 points off of getting into medicine.
Do you know what happened to me with my final results, right? So in Victoria, I don't know how it works now, but at the time, you'd be marked on each subject out of 50, right? Mm-hmm. Like that was your final score, and that would be collated.
The exam went all the way up to 100, but they were like, you guys are Australian. We'll just set some more realistic goals.
Oh, very good. You know that Australia is like routinely top. I don't think I can come at Ireland for this because I think Ireland actually
does, in terms of like literacy and stuff?
I think do a little bit better, which is very frustrating. But Australia generally is routinely like right up the top end of town.
I'm searching, you know, countries by literacy test score. What's the?
I don't know how you do it, but like I was going to go with Human Development Index, but okay. I think Ireland has actually just pipped us. It always used to be Norway number one, Australia number two, but I think Ireland
Norway
is actually,
I know, is like lifetime. Oh, Ireland number two.
Yeah, yeah. Time which is
Switzerland.
Really frustrating.
What, Riley?
No, don't tell me. Where are we now?
Oh, I shudder to think.
Where are we, like fifth?
Eighth.
Eighth? Who else is beating us?
Norway, Ireland, Switzerland, Hong Kong, Iceland, Germany, Sweden.
Oh, that's fine. I'll take it. That's fine.
This website has hedged its bets on the Hong Kong-China issue.
Why? What does it say?
Entry number four is Hong Kong, parentheses China. I'm like, I think you just made both mad. I don't think that helps.
A good compromise leaves everyone upset. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay, well, I can't come after those countries. I'll remember that. Anyway.
Netherlands, though, so, two. Number nine.
If you get a 50, if you get a perfect score, right, you get to meet the Premier. And he shakes your hand, he gives you a certificate because you got a 50, right? Amazing. Very good. If you get a 40 in a subject or above, your name goes in the paper for those subjects, right? So there'll be a big pullout from The Age and it'll have all the names of all the students who got 50. So I did five subjects. I got 39, 39, 39, 39, 49.
Should have spent a little less time studying some of those 39s and a little more time.
Dropped off one of them altogether. Just got a 30 for that, right?
And
then put the extra points into the rest of it. I completely distributed.
You did the opposite of whatever mid-maxing is.
Exactly. Yeah, I mid-mitted. 49 for English.
Disastrous.
Dude. It was to be so close as well. To be so close to shaking Steve Brax's hand. And I didn't get to do that, Dennis.
My write too many words tactic did earn me a 100 in English, to be fair. Which is
I think at some point, right? Like, I don't know. I mean, I'm a teacher, but I when I mark things, I don't have time, man.
At some point, when this kid's written Ulysses, you're like, oh boy,
Yeah, like when I'm working through like the 30th essay that's been written by a 12-year-old, not 30, but you know what I mean? Like, once you get into number 15, 16, and they're all the same, you start being like, oh, yeah, she wrote 8 pages. All right, it must be pretty good. Whatever. I'm not reading. I'm happy for you, or I'm sad that happened, but I'm not reading all that.
Why couldn't Martin done that? Son of a... Oh.
Yeah, you found the one teacher who takes the job far too seriously.
Yeah. You probably co-authored the history book.
Jerk. I think it would be fun to go back to high school.
In a time machine, or to go back and play a quick game of Beatdown with your 34-year-old muscle mass?
No, that's what I'm saying. I think it would be fun to have the brain of a 33-year-old in the body of an 18-year-old for just like a week at high school.
Yeah, go buy Bitcoin. What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? Bitcoin? What?
We're showing our age difference a little bit.
What?
How? Was 18... That was 10 years ago.
Oh, sure. Yeah, no, I'm not thinking. Oh, Dennis, always looking for a way to make a buck, aren't you?
It's true.
I'm just talking about going.
Who do you think suggested Mr. Gallagher charge a fiver for those manifestos? I'm making a cut on the back end.
I'm just talking about going and enjoying. Like, I often wish that you could load a save game.
Yes, just for a day or two.
You know, like go and play, you know, if you've got a video game where like you like that one level, right? You go back and play Metal Gear Solid 4, the Prague level, right? Where you're tailing someone through the street. So that sort good of thing, level. Right? Good. It's a good level. And if you want to just have that experience, you can. But, you know, I can't just go and be a high schooler for a week. I think I'd hate it after a while. I'd hate being told what to do and expected to do it. I'd be like, can't tell me what to do.
You know what I'd do if I could load a save game? I would not go back to being a teenager, Riley. I would go back to Monday afternoon and text you being like, happy birthday, you dickhead.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Have a Listen to This. We do hope you've enjoyed the episode. And hey, if you haven't, doesn't matter. The download numbers show up all the same. So whatever, suckers. But if you did enjoy this show, please tell your friends about it. And look, tell people that aren't your friends. Tell acquaintances and even your enemies. Again, the downloads show up all the same. And if you want to support the show, if you really like the show this much, you can support us on Patreon. Patreon.com/Have a Listen to This. You get access to behind the scenes stuff, early access to episodes, all sorts of things. We are definitely in this for the money, not for the love of the game or anything like that. So head over to Patreon and help us get them rookie numbers up.